Great to see you here today. Kia ora koutou katoa to all of you beautiful C3 City churches. How good is it to be in God's house? I'm so excited today because it's our anointing day today. This is not my hip flask of whiskey. This is anointing oil. And we're going to be anointing everyone with oil and praying for everyone in the last 20 minutes of the service. So you don't need to run out to a long toilet break. It's okay. You're just going to get a wee dab of oil on you. Not enough to have an outbreak of zits this week. Just a wee dab. And I think I've shared with you before my spiritual fantasy about having a huge squeegee bottle of oil and just spraying an altar call full of people with oil. But we won't do that today. One day I'll do that. At a youth camp or something like that. But I feel like there's an anointing for a breakthrough in the miraculous in the house today. And some people are going to see some incredible breakthroughs, financial healing, some incredible miracles, some incredible provisions and answers. And we're going after that today because our God is a miracle working God. He is incredible. And there are going to be, I'm talking about some stuff for this year. And, you know, people are going to have breakthroughs. And for some of you, the best thing you could do to go forward in God this year is to be water baptized. So make sure you get your name down at the end of the service if you have not been water baptized, and then turn up at 4:15 today. Now, my favorite book ever, apart from the Bible, of course, is Pastor Phil Pringle's book, Faith. Who's read that book? I've read it like 5 times. I can never get enough. It's in our church library, and it would be great if you could read it because, man, it is so extending and enlarging. And we're going to be talking not about the faith, like the Christian faith. We're going to be talking about being faith people, people with pushy faith. So the title today is Faith That Pushes Through, Faith That Pushes Through. We need to keep building up faith inside us because it gets used up. And God loves faith. It's the language He speaks. And if we want to communicate with God, we need to speak His language. And it is the language of faith. And Father, right now I pray you would come in power. I pray you would enlarge each person. It's like you're taking our spirit and you're stretching it out this morning so we can believe bigger than we ever have before. Enlarge us as a people, corporately stretch us, enlarge our faith. Thank you, Lord. It is not business as usual in 2020. There is a spiritual ramping up. And Lord, I thank you that we are stepping into new territory by your grace. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And tell the person next to you, you need some pushy faith. Tell somebody, come on. And the one on the other side, they're feeling left out. You need some pushy faith. I'm so loving being back here. We've been away like for 2 weeks at 2 different conferences. But we got, our church received 3 prophetic words within 5 days from 3 different amazing apostles and prophets. And that was really exciting. And I don't know if you were here on Sunday night when Pastor John Pierce, who is over all of C3 Global under Pastor Phil Pringle, said that we are going to double in a decade. Are you ready to double in a decade? Tell the person next to you, we're going to double in a decade. Bit of alliteration there. So I want to encourage you to take notes this morning, and I'm going to preach quick. That'll be a miracle. And then we're going to pray. And a lot of this message, I'm drawing on Smith Wigglesworth, some of the books about him and some of his sermons, and also Pastor Phil Pringle's book on faith, of course. So Pastor Phil, he always says, faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. So if we want to have currency, be wealthy in heaven's mind, in heaven's ways, we need to operate in faith with a spirit of believing. This is how the Lord operates. He doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. If God only responded to need, there would be no poverty or lack anywhere because God would be answering it. God does not just respond to sincerity. He responds to faith, to believing Him. So today we've got 4 main scriptures. Here's the first one. Hebrews 11, verse 6a. You've probably heard it before. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we believe God with a spirit of faith, it pleases him. We've got to be a believing believer, not an unbelieving believer. Faith gets God's attention. Faith gets God's response. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. And when we believe God, we're saying, God, I trust you. I trust your character. But if we don't believe that God will do what he says he will do, then we are doubting God's integrity. If God loves anything, it is faith. If God hates anything, it is unbelief. Because unbelief insults God. We actually despise God and call him a liar when we don't believe him. But when we say, yes, Lord, I know you're going to do what you said. I know you're going to fulfill your word. Then God is blessed by that because faith pleases God. But unbelief is the opposite of faith. And we need to learn to resist unbelief. When unbelief starts to rise up inside us, we've got to push through it. Because our faith needs to be pushy. And we need to get pushy in the spirit, some of us, because some of us are just too nice. That's not me, but some of you. And when you're praying for your unsaved family, friends, workmates, classmates to get saved, you're going to have to push through some unbelief and see them saved already. See them, visualize them through the eye of faith. Visualize them in this baptism tank here under the carpet with their hands raised. When we're praying for that healing, we've got to push through that unbelief. When you're believing God for a husband or a wife and you're praying for that special someone, you've got to push through unbelief. And you've just got to believe God that one day soon that person will walk in through those doors one Sunday and your eyes will meet across a crowded altar call and you'll lock eyes and you'll run in slow motion towards one another. One of these days, you're going to walk in through those doors. There she was, just a walking in the church, singing something in tongues. Yeah. Did you know that faith is always moving forward? Faith has momentum. Faith is never satisfied just to sit still and wait and see what will happen. Because faith is not passive. Faith always pushes through. It always pushes through. Unbelief is more dangerous than we think it is. God hates it. Here's a quote from Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, every other crime touches God's territory, but unbelief aims a blow at his divinity. Unbelief denies his goodness, blasphemes his attributes, maligns his character. Therefore, God, of all things, hates first and chiefly unbelief, whatever it is, or wherever it is. So we've got to get rid of this stuff, this unbelief, out of our hearts, out of our minds, because it will stop us from doing God's will. Who's heard of Smith Wigglesworth, that great English apostle of faith who's with the Lord now? He came out here to minister over 90 years ago in the early 20s, mid-20s, and he had a fantastic remedy for unbelief. And it was to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He knew that having the Holy Spirit flowing in your life could defeat unbelief and doubt. And he said these words when he preached in the Wellington Town Hall, I think it was 1924. My great-grandfather was a Presbyterian minister. He lined up to get into the meeting, but he couldn't get in because they only held 3,000 people in there. So Smith Wigglesworth said, get filled with the Holy Ghost and unbelief will depart. Unbelief is sin. It is the greatest sin because it hinders you from all blessings. And some of us here are not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, that prayer language, and you've been waiting for the right time for that to happen. And I'm here today to tell you that today, now is that time. And when you come up today to be anointed with oil, I want you to say to the person praying for you, pray for me right now to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. We so need the power of the Holy Spirit flowing in our lives every day. It is life-altering, transforming. Here's our second scripture. Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12a. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. Faith is an aggressive spiritual quality. Now, some of the women are thinking, oh, that doesn't sound very ladylike. But the Bible does never tell us to be ladylike. The Bible tells Queen Victoria, probably, who told you that. She's dead now. The Bible tells us all, men and women, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not to be timid, but be courageous and full of faith. Faith makes things happen. Smith Wigglesworth, again, he said, if the Spirit doesn't move me, I move the Spirit. So he's meaning he's stepping out in faith. Faith takes territory. Faith wants to go ahead with God into the future. Unbelief wants to be safe and comfortable and stay here. Unbelief even wants to go back to the good old days, back to Egypt. But if we are ever going to achieve anything for God, it is going to take faith. If we want to win Tauranga for Jesus, it's going to take some faith. If we want to win New Zealand for Jesus, it's going to take some pushy faith. Are you ready to get your pushy faith on in 2020? Yeah, so am I. God wants us to be his change agents on the earth. He wants to bring eternal life change to people through you and me. And everywhere Jesus went, he changed people and he made them better. He went around taking sickness off people. Leprosy, blindness, lameness, deafness, crippling diseases. He went around breaking the power of the devil off lives. He sent demons packing. He even took death off people. Jesus didn't ever say, oh, well, I see you have leprosy. My condolences to you, and I really feel for you. And I want you to know that you'll be in my thoughts and prayers. I hope you've got some medical insurance, and I'm hoping to see you in heaven. Bye! Jesus didn't do that. He didn't just say nice, compassionate words and walk away. He did something about it. He brought healing. He brought deliverance. He brought life. He brought change. Jesus didn't leave people the way he found them. And neither are we to. Wigglesworth again said, if I leave you the way I found you, then God has not spoken through me. Jesus spoke words of life and faith, and miracles happened. He taught the truth about the Father. He showed us a new way to live. And God has called us to do the same, to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth, to bring people into an encounter with the love and the power of God. The Lord doesn't only want to change us. He wants to change our families, our streets, our friends, our neighbors, our workplaces, our schools. He wants to bring them to life. And he wants to do it through you and me. He doesn't want us to settle for the status quo. We can never just accept things the way they are. We have to pray and believe and act in faith for God to intervene in others' lives. The Lord wants to change the eternal destinies of others through you and me. And some people are going to be changed forever because they met you. And you're born again. And you're full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're scary to the devil. Some people are going to go from darkness to light because they worked beside you on the building site. Some people are going to switch from the road to hell to the road to heaven because they moved in next door to you. Some people are going to go from the power of Satan to the power of God because they sat next to you in your classroom. We don't just settle for what we see. We bring the God factor to it because we are faith people and we have pushy faith. And we are God's change agents on the earth. And we've got faith that pushes through unbelief. Tell the person next to you, I've got faith that pushes through. That's right. God is using us to bring change and his life to people around us. We are people of pushy faith in a good way. We don't just sit there and do nothing. We think like that Christian bracelet, WWJD. Who was John Denver? No, it was, what would Josh do? What would Jared do? What would Joe do? Why are most of our staff's names starting with the letter J? I think they're all just trying to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do is what that means. We don't just leave people the way we found them. We impart the love and the life of God to them. We impart the Holy Spirit to them. We don't just accept things the way they are. Now the third scripture, are you ready? 2 Corinthians 4:13, write that down. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it is written, I have believed and therefore I've spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Faith always speaks out. Faith has a voice. I did tell a story about 3 or 4 years ago. Some of you may recall it. Martin Luther, the guy who brought the Reformation about 500 years ago. It was the year 1541, and his good friend Friedrich, try and say that without spinning into the mic, Friedrich was found in the last stages of TB. He was almost speechless. Now, Luther was unable to visit his bedside because it was so far away and he didn't have much time because this guy was literally about to die. So Luther wrote out a prayer and sent it to him. Maybe someone rode on horseback, I don't know. But this is what the prayer was, and someone read it out over Friedrich. May God not ever let me hear as long as I live that you are dead, but may God cause you to outlive me. I pray this earnestly and I will have it granted. Friedrich immediately sat up. He recovered straight away, and he did not die until after Luther did, many years later. Luther made a faith declaration, and it happened just as he believed. We need to speak out what we believe the Lord is showing us. Now, how do we know what the Lord's showing us? How do we see what God sees? Well, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we will see what he sees. The more we pray in tongues, the more we will see what he sees. The more we spend time alone with him, we will see what he sees. The more we spend time in his presence and worship, we will see what he sees. So it works like this. He shows us something, a dream, a vision. We see it. We declare it. And if you feel like the Lord has shown you dreams and visions that you need to possess, have and own in your future, you need to speak it out in faith. You need to tell somebody, not anybody, but someone you trust, someone who's spiritually wise and mature, and say what it is you're believing God for. And it might be something like, I believe God is going to bring my friend to Jesus. I believe God is going to enable me to pass all my exams. I believe God's going to give me a wife or a husband. I believe God's going to give me a job. I believe God's going to provide money for me to go on a missions trip this year. I believe God's going to speak through me to my neighbor. I believe my husband's going to be saved. I believe my kid is going to come back to Jesus. I believe I'm going to be promoted at work. I believe God is going to give us our own home. I believe God is going to heal me of this sickness. I believe God is going to get me out of debt. You've got to speak it out to someone. You've got to declare aloud, prophetically, where God is taking you. Who was at Kids Go Wild? I think it was 2 weeks ago. How awesome was that? We saw a massive miracle because 20 minutes before Kids Go Wild, the enemy threw everything he had at us. We had horizontal rain, wind out of nowhere. It was hot. I was wearing like a no-sleeve top with sunblock and a hat. And then out of nowhere, we have thunder. We have forked lightning, which is unusual. We have wind, horizontal rain, and hail. Ice in the middle of a hot sunny day. It was not normal. And people in the bus started breaking out in a prayer meeting. Raki started praying up a storm. We made some faith declarations in the tent. It will stop by 4 p.m., which was the start time. And 10 minutes before 4 p.m., it was just like going crazy. And then at 4 p.m., it stopped. Oh, Eureka. It stopped. And all the people came, and we had the most amazing Kids Go Wild. We've got to speak out what we're believing and make declarations in faith. Last main scripture, number 4, Joel 3, verse 10b. Let the weak say, I am strong. But it doesn't say, let the weak say, I am weak, which is true because they are weak. The Bible says they're weak. But it's telling the weak to say you're strong. But we can think, well, I am weak. And I'm just honest. I'm an honest person. And weak is just where I'm at right now. And that's my reality, and I'm a realist, and I'm sincere, and I'm just going to tell it like it is. No! We've got to not tell it like it is. We've got to tell it how God wants it to be. Because God lives outside of time. God is not limited by time. He knows the end from the beginning. To him, our future is history. The Lord doesn't just see us as we are right now. He sees what we are becoming. He sees what we are going to be. This is just as real to him as where we are right now. Now, we can't see completely what we are going to become yet, but just because we can't see it with our eyes, we sometimes can get in a place of doubt or unbelief. We can't see God either, but we know he's real. We need to view ourselves through God's eyes. He sees us as the finished product. So we need to get into agreement with God. We need to say what we're becoming, not what we are right now. We need to say what he is making us into. Let the weak say, I am strong. Say it with me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Prophesy it. Let the weak say,
I am strong.
Now I want you to shout it out. Let the weak say, I am strong. Tell the person next to you, I am strong. Don't yell at them. It's, you know, just say it nicely. We've got to stop prophesying weakness and limitation over our lives when the Bible is telling us to prophesy strength. I love Hebrews. I've just thrown that in. That's a fifth scripture. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That word confession in the Greek is homologia or homologia. I think it's homologia. Homo meaning the same. Logia meaning logos, the word. So say the same as God says. That is what that word means. Profession or confession of our faith in the Greek, homologia. We need to say the same as God. We need to get into agreement with God's word. So stop talking about where you are right now and start talking about where you are going to be. Stop talking about what you are right now and start talking about what you are going to be. Don't say what the media says. Don't say what your mother says. Don't say what your workmates say. Say what God says. Uh-oh. There goes my whiskey. Just kidding, it's anointing oil. God wants us to get a dream and a vision of where we're going and declare it and speak it over our lives. We are the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are to be a prophetic people out there in front. We are to declare the things that are not as though they are, as though they were, like God does. We're not just to be saying what's already happened, reporting the news. We are to say what is yet to come, speak prophetically, prophesy. We are in a process of transformation. We are not staying where we are. We are being changed from glory to glory. We are not what we were. We are being made more like God every day. And God is not weak. The Lord is strong. God is not sick. He is well and whole. And the Lord is not lonely. He's got the biggest family in the world. He is not poor. He is rich. God is loaded. And the Lord is not lacking. He has an abundant supply. This is who we are, like him. Strong, well, whole, rich, blessed, loved, having an abundance, having more than enough to share with others. The Lord, if the band could come, please. The Lord wants the things he's showing you in the spirit to come in to your reality. And this is the way it happens, through faith-filled prayer. Now, we don't ever pray with a whiny tone. All the parents are irritated, aren't we, by whiny tones? All the parents know that you don't do the whiny tone if you want to get something out of mum and dad. And same with the Lord. He really hates whiny tones. Oh, God, please. And he's like, Gabriel, I think there's an insect. Send the fly spray. You know, we've got to ask God in faith. There is no begging in faith. We don't ever beg God. There's no self-pity in faith. We don't even pray, well, God, please, if it's your will. I know you've got a lot on your plate right now with these international disputes and wars and stuff, but if you can, if you have time, please, can you help me out a bit here? We don't pray like that. That's just irritating to God. It's a whiny sound. He just tunes it out. We don't beg God in prayer. There's no faith in begging. There's only self-pity. And faith and self-pity can never coexist. You will either have one or the other, but you can't have both. Pick one. What's it going to be, faith or self-pity? Maybe you have been a victim, but you're not now. You don't have to stay a victim. You are not a victim anymore. You're a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. This is who you are. So we need to pray and speak it out like that, in faith, with boldness and expectation. We approach the throne of grace with confidence because you are God's kid. You are God's boy, God's girl. And the Father delights to provide for you. The Bible says that you're the apple of his eye and he rejoices over you with singing. So we pray like this. Thank you, God, that it is already done in Jesus' name. You are providing a job for me. Thank you, Lord, for this money that you are going to bring to me to go on this missions trip. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that my brother is going to come back to the Lord this year into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for that husband you've got for me. Bring him on in Jesus' name. What are you praying for right now in faith? What are you believing God for in this newish year of 2020? I believe there's going to come an impartation of faith for the miraculous right now, for us as individuals, for us as a church. And it was just confirmed afresh in the last week, in the last 10 days, that we're going to have 5 campuses. So we've got 2 more locations still coming. And the whole double in a decade thing. We cannot afford, church, to stay where we are, the way we are. We've got to keep moving on with God and growing. In Jesus' name, let's stand up.